Amen. We are so blessed. Isn't that right? That's good. I think that we are blessed, and I think God takes good care of us. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight. Open up to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 this evening. We finished up Daniel last week, and I think this is one of the things that speaks to my heart about the book of Daniel and the life of Daniel. It's one of the things we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. You'll be praying with us as we... praying for me as we make the decision on what the next book of the Bible we're going to go through on Wednesday nights. So it'll probably take a week or two as we're considering which one that will be. But right now we're going to look at this message, honoring God with your earthen vessel. Honoring God with your earthen vessel. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, you see a certain phrase that is mentioned here that our bodies are considered earthen vessels. And how we can honor God with the earthen vessel God's given us. As we say goodbye to the book of Daniel, there's some things that that really spoke to my heart is how Daniel honored God with his life, even though he really didn't have much to give. You think about it, in his life, he was taken from his family as a young person and brought to the city of Babylon, to the nation of Babylon. And here, he uses the opportunity that God has given him time in and time again to just honor God with his life. He didn't have much. He was there, but what did he do? With his body, he says, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat or a portion of the wine which the king drinks. With his body, he puts himself out there and he prays. Now, he didn't have much to offer, but boy, what he had to offer, he gave to God, and God took that and God used that. And tonight I want to think about this story and this passage of Scripture. And if you just consider the background of 2 Corinthians, background of 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing, as he's writing this, he's writing to answer many of the attacks that have been lobbed at him. He's been attacked from all different angles and by this church in Corinth, by people in Corinth. They are judging him. They're saying he has no right to being an apostle. They even pick on the way he communicates. They pick on his appearance. They pick on everything about the Apostle Paul, and Paul is writing back. You know, many times when people attack us, we respond by trying to defend ourselves. Not the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, instead, he agrees with them. And he tells them that he actually, in his weaknesses, that the power of Christ can be magnified. And in this passage of Scripture, I want us to think about the vessel that God's given us. And it's not important what the vessel is. It's important what the vessel is filled with. It's not important what the vessel is. It's important what the vessel is filled with. You think about Paul. Most people think he was a shorter man. Most people think that there was nothing attractive about him, that he had lost his eyesight for the most part. And you think about this little Jew man that's going around, and he is causing the world to be turned upside down by the preaching of the gospel. It wasn't about what he looked like. It wasn't about his talents. It wasn't about his abilities. It's about what he allowed his vessel to be used for. And I think it's important that we get this, that we have a treasure in our earthen vessels. This, you say, what is an earthen vessel? Well, pretty much what they're talking about here is pottery, just a piece of pottery. And that's what our bodies is described as. It's nothing more than just a piece of pottery here. And here, let's go ahead and look here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's look in verse number 6. The word of God said, for God, who commanded a light to shine out of the darkness. Now, this is, Paul is saying this, you know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know, the same God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the same God that said, let there be light, and guess what, there was light, hath shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the reason why we know or have the ability to know of God is because he has shined the light of the glorious gospel. We saw that in it's also found in verse number 4 that he says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So he's referring to here that God shines that light. And you see this word here in verse number 6, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This word glory here is the Greek word. It's called doxa. It's also translated in the scriptures honor. So the honor that he desires to give God is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. So what does that have to do about us? It's when we become like Christ, we are honoring God. In verse number 7, it says, but we have this treasure. What treasure is he referring to? The gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's talking about inside our own bodies, we have the treasure, the opportunity to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this, listen to the next phrase, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That the excellency that is of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, think about what it's saying here is that when the gospel is presented, the power of God is shown through our lives, that people will not congratulate us, that people will not praise us, that people will not lift us up, but instead is that they may see the power be of God. And that's when we're carrying around this treasure in our earthen vessels, we need to understand it's not about our bodies. It's not about the way we look like. It's not about what we can do in our own strength, but instead of what God's strength is. And just recently I was counseling and I was talking to an individual who was despondent or who wasn't thinking that they were worth much because of the way they looked or because of the size they were. And they were just really discouraged. And I tried to explain to this individual that it's not about the way you look. It's about what God can do with your life. It's not about the vessel itself. It's not about your flesh. It's not about how attractive or unattractive you think you are, or how small or how big you think you are, the talents that you think you have or the talents you don't think you have. It's about what's inside the vessel, inside this cup here. You know what? This cup is nothing special. But when you put Mountain Dew in it, boy, it becomes special, doesn't it? I mean, you can put something like water in it. There still isn't anything special. You can put mud in it. It's unattractive. You put Mountain Dew inside of it, boy, then it's something precious in there. It's not the cup. It's what's inside of it. And Christians, what this is saying here is we can honor God with our earthen vessel. It's not the individual. It's not the person. That's what, and when you look at the book of Daniel, you see all those great times and opportunities that Daniel had to express the glory of God in his life. Not once was it because he was some attractive man. Now you say, well, Pastor, that's the reason why they took him is because he was the brightest and smartest and maybe the attractive one. Now, but when did he shine? Is when he was willing to take his life, put it in God's hands, and say, God, whatever you want. It wasn't about the vessel. It was about what God could do with the vessel. Look what it says in verse number 8. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And you can say these are true sayings about the Apostle Paul, but also about Daniel, is that they were pushed to their limits, but God was still there helping them. Verse number 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And this is the idea of dying to self. We've been talking about the flesh on Sundays. And it's if we always bear about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That Jesus' Christ's life can be lived through us. When we're willing to empty ourselves or empty the vessel of ourselves and our own selfishness and our own flesh, that Jesus Christ can live through us. And when it says in verse number 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And as bad as we've been talking about how our flesh is and the old man, the old nature is, what the Bible is saying here, inside this mortal flesh we have, that Jesus Christ can be manifested to the rest of the world. We should praise the Lord for that. I mean, that is great that people can see Jesus Christ in our lives. And, you know, the people that we want to reach and the people that we want to witness to and the people we want to see be brought to Jesus Christ, yes, we should be a witness. Yes, we should be telling them. But one of the greatest witnesses you can have is when Jesus Christ shines through your life and they can see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ through you. Now, I'm not saying this is that you should replace your witnessing, that you should replace your testimony, you should replace, you know that's contrary to what we teach and preach here. You should tell others. But there should be a way through your life that people see Jesus Christ and see Christ in your life. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and then we'll get to the rest of the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the example of Daniel. I thank you for the example of Paul. Lord, I know sometimes when we look at ourselves, sometimes we look at our age, sometimes we look at our features, sometimes we look at our size, and we get discouraged. Our earthen vessel is not maybe attractive to what the world would consider attractive. And Lord, we just don't think we can be used. But Lord, when we consider what Daniel had, when we consider what Paul had, and Lord, how they honored you with their bodies, despite not being attracted to the rest of the world. Help us to see how you can use us. Help us to see how sometimes these afflictions you allow in our hearts and our lives are made to make us more like you, and that they do not destroy us, but instead they make grow closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, I want you to think about this in verse number 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember, God has not required us to be perfect. God has not required that you hit a certain weight to be able to be used by God. God has not required that the world think that you be beautiful in order to be used by God. If he did, they would be magnifying the vessels and not Christ. You think about the different saints of God. None of them were perfect. None of them were sinless. You think about Abraham. Twice he pretended his wife was his sister. Think about Moses. He had a fiery temper. You think about it. He himself said he was an inadequate speaker and could not do what God was calling him to do. He was saying his vessel could not do what God wanted him to do. You think about David, the great psalmist. He says he had talents. He was attractive, but would God use him, even though he was an adulterer and even though he was a murderer? You think about Elijah, you know, the man who helped call fire down from heaven. And then what did he do? Because of doubt, because of fear, he ran. You think about Isaiah. He said he had unclean lips. You think about Peter. He told the Lord to get away from him because he was a sinful man. You think about how he vehemently and repeatedly denied Jesus Christ the night that most people would say he should have been closest to Jesus Christ. Over and over in the Bible, you see character after character after character that was not perfect. Paul here is just another long line of clay pots. He's just another long line of clay pots that God had used successfully. And in your life, inside you, you have a treasure inside your earthen vessel. You're nothing more than just a clay pot, according to what the Bible is saying here. And in this clay pot, it's not about how pretty you can make the pot. It's instead filled. It's what fills the pot. It's what fills that clay pot that makes the difference. You think about what the Apostle Paul wrote earlier in 1 Corinthians. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called." You know, as we go through this world, we say, that's the person that could be used, and that's the person that could be used, and that's the person that can be used. But we can all be used by God. It does not matter about the earthen vessel. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What it's saying here is that when you do something for God and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you do something for God, that your flesh is not going to be able to glory in what was done. It's all got to be about God. Now we begin to understand this idea that we can honor God with our earthen vessels. You, no matter who you are, no matter your shape, size, color, no matter what it is, no matter how God has made you up, God can and wants to use you. You have a treasure inside of you that God wants to use. A couple of things I want you to think about here tonight in this passage. We see the Apostle Paul here is talking about afflictions. In verses 7 and 8, it says, in verses 8 and 9, it says, "For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." The first point is affliction does not bring destruction. Affliction does not bring destruction. You think about the Apostle Paul, and you think about Daniel that we just got done studying about, and we see about his life in the first 6 chapters. He was pushed. They were both pushed to their limits. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. They had been pushed all as far as they could be pushed, but they were not knocked out. Let's look at these phrase by phrase. Verse number 8, "For we are troubled on every side." With this idea of trouble on every side, yet not distressed, is referring to is the idea that they are pushed beyond measure. They're under great pressure. They're put in a very narrow place. That's what troubled means. But not distressed means that they are not crushed. And when I think about the Apostle Paul, I think how he was pushed and he was put in narrow spaces, but he did not limit what he could do in preaching the gospel. His earthen vessel might have been pushed so far, might have been put in a prison cell, might have been clamped into the chains with Silas, but it was not eliminated. And that's what he's saying here, is that he was troubled. He was put in a narrow place. He was put under great pressure, but he was not distressed. That meant that he still was not crushed. He still had space to share the gospel. And even though your earthen vessel may be pushed to the limit to where you're in a tight spot, in a tight situation, the Apostle Paul is saying here, look, you can still honor God there. Apostle Paul was stretched to his limits. He was in that cell with Silas, many times thrown in jail. And what? He still had the opportunity to honor God right there, even though his earthen vessel was pushed beyond all limits. Look at the next phrase. He talked about how in verse number 8, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Now, this word perplexed means to be without resource. We are perplexed, but not in despair. He was saying, look, even though I am without resource, he's saying, I'm not destitute of the resource I need. And he's saying, look, even though it seems like I have nothing to accomplish anything for God, I have every resource I need to accomplish what God wants me to do. And this is the idea that in our earthen vessels and in our bodies where it seems like we've been put under pressure and we're without resources, that God still says, look, you're not crushed. You are still not destitute of the resource you need. He can give you in your earthen vessel every resource you need to bring honor to God, despite it seems like everything else is gone. If Paul was at a loss, he was not at a total loss. If he was at the brink of defeat, he was not defeated. And this is the perfect example of what happened to Daniel. He was pushed. It seemed like all hope was gone. Remember when they came and knocked on his door and says, you're going to die tomorrow because no one can tell the king this dream? He says, look, there is no resources. They went to all these false prophets, all these false magicians, all these astrologers, all these people that worship all these false gods. And Daniel says, hey, just give me one night. And Daniel went to the resource. That was God. And everybody says the resources are gone. He says, I have all the resources I need. And in your earthen vessel, you might say, I don't have anything that can bring honor to God. And that's when God fills you and you have the resource you need to bring honor to him. Let's keep on going here in verse number 8. He says, we are troubled on every side. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You think about this and this idea that they're in trouble every side. It seemed like something was against them. You ever felt like you were there? You feel like everything seems to be going wrong, that every place you feel, and he says, look, even though I've been troubled on every side, I'm not distressed. Keep on going. It says, as we are perplexed, but not in despair. And look what it says, verse number 9, persecuted. Now, this word persecuted means made to run or driven away or hunted, but not forsaken. And you might be under extreme persecution. You might be hunted like David was by Saul, but you're not abandoned. You're persecuted. You've been persecuted, but not forsaken. What is that saying? Is that no matter how much this earthen vessel seems like it's facing persecution from those that are without, you've never been forsaken. I don't know about you, but that's probably one of my favorite promises in all the Bible. When God says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can hold to that. I might be feeling like I'm being persecuted by my family. I might feel like I'm being persecuted by my church family, which shouldn't happen. I might feel like I'm being persecuted by my work, by my loved ones, all around me. Definitely feel like I'm being persecuted by my government. You know, all those different things. But I have not been forsaken. That's because God won't forsake us. You continue on. It says in verse number 9, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down. This word cast down means thrown down. It's like in a wrestling match is when someone picks you up and they throw you down. That's what it's like. The world is taking you and throwing you to the mat. When I was in college, when I was at Pensacola, I was part of a collegian, which is like a fraternity at a public university, but collegians, everybody had to join one. And I wrestled for a little while for the collegian. And believe me, it's no fun being picked up and thrown to the mat. It happened a couple times. So that's not fun. But you know what the Bible's saying here? Even though he has been thrown down, he says, but not destroyed. It means he's not ruined. I might have been knocked down, but I wasn't knocked out. And that's what Paul is saying here. Look, I've been thrown down by this world. I've been thrown down by any and everybody. Even these believers that are questioning Paul and these false people that are coming in, these Judaizers that are causing trouble for the Apostle Paul and trying to wrangle up a bunch of mess. He says, look, I've been thrown all down. He says, but I have not been destroyed. for our earthen vessel to endure all of this, you know what it does? It magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. All this enhances the life of Christ demonstrated in me. Now, you think about it. The Apostle Paul here, we can see Christ. Why? Because how he responds. He doesn't write the book of the church of Corinth and says, you a bunch of ungrateful, unthankful, unregenerate. And he doesn't go and start laying them out saying, I came to Corinth. I was the one that brought the gospel. I was the one that started that church. And you go, you know, we don't see that. Instead, we see this man answering the different challenges that have been given to him, the accusations that have been given to him, and you see Christ all throughout his heart and all throughout his life. And when he's writing these things, he's saying, you know what? I'm not perfect. You know, I do make mistakes, but it's the power of Christ that comes through me through these things. And I want you to understand, in our lives, our affliction does not bring destruction. And no matter what your earthen vessel is facing today, whether your earthen vessel seems like it's forsaken, whether your earthen vessel is perplexed, whether your earthen vessel is troubled, no, whether your earthen vessel feels like it's cast down, that does not bring destruction in your life. What brings destruction in your life is when you let your flesh control, and when you let your flesh react, and when you let your flesh take your testimony and the light that God has given you to shine to the rest of this world. That's what brings destruction to your spiritual life. These outside circumstances are not the things that control us. Remember, our greatest problems are from within. Our greatest treasure is from within too. We've been talking on Sundays about the flesh. Remember that illustration about the tea bag? It's not the cup itself that forms the tea. It's what's inside the tea bag that makes the taste. And Christian, it's what's inside you that makes you what you are. The second thing I want you to think about is affliction is for the purpose of purification. Affliction is for the purpose of purification. Look here in verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, it's interesting here in verse number 17. He says this is a light affliction. You know what? Sometimes we feel like we're going through the most horrible thing in the world that nothing could compare to what you're going through and nobody understands. The Apostle Paul that has been through so much says, look, this is just a light affliction. It's just for a moment. In comparison to eternity, what you're going through is not going to destroy you. It is a light affliction, and it's for a purpose. Look what it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What it's saying here is that affliction that God has given you can be worked to a far more greater weight of glory. It's saying that can be used to bring glory to God, which is more important than anything your earthen vessel can be put through. It says, worketh for us a far more, not just a little bit, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That the things that God is allowing you to go through, the afflictions that God has given to you in your life, can work to be a far more greater exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but God's saying that we're nothing but a clay pot. And this clay pot, God's saying that when you bring affliction to it, that it can bring greater cause for glory. I think about the story of Gideon. You guys remember the story of Gideon, right? He was getting ready to fight that huge army. He had this nice sized group, and they sent home this amount, and they sent home this other amount. Gideon looks around, and there's 300 guys there with him. And they don't got machine guns. What do they got? They got a trumpet, right? They got a light. And what's the third thing? Anybody remember? It's a pitcher. That's right. It's a clay pot. That's what it is. You know what they do with that clay pot? They put that light inside that clay pot. Now, I believe, and this may be because it works from our sermon illustration, but I believe that clay pot wasn't see-through. You know, when we think of pitchers, what do we think through? We think of glass pitchers, but that's not the way they did it back then. It was clay pots. They put the light in the pot so that way the Midianites could not see them gathering around. And when it came time for them to blow the trumpet, what did they do? They broke the plot. And what happened? The light shined through. See, the only time when our light's ever really going to shine is when we allow God to break the pot. So what do you mean? He says, when we allow God to break us. Remember, we have an earthen vessel here. And when we allow God to break us, meaning breaking our flesh, breaking our desires, bringing affliction into our life to help us understand and see the need that we have for Christ, then our light will shine through. When things are going good and things are going easy, you know, our light doesn't shine as much as when times are hard and times are dark. And that's what we need to allow God to do, is to break us so we can live for him. You know, Charles Spurgeon wrote it this way: God's choice makes chosen men choice men. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in a palace, but in a furnace. In a furnace, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, but glory is consumed. Yet here, eternal love reveals its secrets. When we are going through the dark times of our life, and that we allow God to do his work for us and in us, that's when our light will show through. All too quickly, we're prone to stop that. All too quickly, we do not like the purification process. All too quickly, we're not interested in understanding why God is putting us through the fire. But when we stop God from putting us through the fire and take our faith away from him, you know what happens? We ultimately forsake the purpose of bringing glory to God. God allows things to happen to our earthen vessels for a purpose and for a reason. And we've gone through those things. We looked at all those things. Sometimes it's to train to help teach others also some other times. Sometimes it's there to, because we have sin in our lives. But sometimes it is just there to bring glory to God. And affliction is for the purpose of purification. What God is trying to do is purify us. And we see here in the Apostle Paul is sitting there saying this light affliction. He is facing death. He is facing all these other things. He is facing constant persecution, and he calls it a light affliction. He says it's just for a moment because he understood that God was getting the glory in his life. And when we look at ourselves as an earthen vessel and say, you know what, God can get the glory in my life. But many times he has to break us to do that. Many times he has to bring us humbly to where we are flat on our back before we ever say, okay, God, whatever it is you want, I'm willing to do. The third thing I want you to think about, and this will be it. Affliction brings transformation. Affliction brings transformation. Apostle Paul here, Daniel, both men used greatly by God, both men, light shined, both despite limited circumstances, limited of resources around them, was used greatly by God because of the affliction that God brought in their life. Think about what it says in Isaiah 48:10. It says, Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Listen to that phrase again. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Now, what that is saying, this passage is written to the nation of Israel, but it has an application for us today. Truly to transform, being transformed into the image God wants us to be, the image of his son, comes at a great cost. Transformation costs a lot. We think about, I was in the nursery today, and we were talking about redoing some things in the nursery, and this hasn't been touched for a while, and it's probably something that we should have done a long time ago, but there's marks all into the walls, and it needs to be repainted. Looks like it really, after looking at it today, it needs new carpet. There's a lot of, you know, transforming a room, redecorating, or whatever it is, it costs something, doesn't it? It's not easy. We just did that with the prophet's chamber, and there is a cost that's involved with that. And we're trying to do different spots in the church because things need to be updated, need to be kept up. We need to be good stewards of that. It costs something. But to be transformed into the image of his son, it's going to cost something. What does it say, Romans 12:1? It talks about how we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That costs us something. That says, Lord, this is my body, but I am giving it to you. It is yours to do what you want with. That is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And that's our reasonable service. But we can be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. If we're supposed to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost us something. It cost the Apostle Paul greatly. It cost Daniel greatly, because they were taken through the affliction and taken through the furnace of affliction, and they did not fall. They did not fail. Were they perfect? No. They were in an earthen vessel. They had to deal with the flesh. Remember what Paul was saying. He had to die daily. Remember what it says in Romans chapter 7 we learned about a couple weeks ago. He was saying, everything, when I tried to do what was right, I couldn't do it. But when I the things I didn't want to do, those were the things I did. He talked about how when he wanted to do what was right, what did he do? He says, there was something present with me. Evil was present with me, always telling us not to do it. And if you truly want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's free. Instead, in the Bible, it tells you that these things, this light affliction, is going to be worth it. Think about Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore, when it was made, it was used by some of the harshest tools ever. Because it's such a large mountain and the construction of it. You know what they used? They used dynamite. They used explosives. They used great hammers. And they used chisels. And they transformed that mountain to be a beautiful monument today. Now, they're not going to go out there and they're not going to use a little manicuring chisel. You know how you ladies use with your nails sometimes? Maybe you guys do. I don't know why, but maybe you guys do. The chisel, they're not going to use that because that's not going to make it work. But see, we don't mind when God pulls out the little fingernail file, but that's not what God needs to do in our lives. God needs to transform us. And sometimes it's going to take a heavy explosive. Sometimes it's going to take the chisels and the great hammers. And sometimes we need to learn to submit to what God desires. If we would be willing to submit to God in a way that we say that my earthen vessel, that I want to honor God with it and allow him to take us through a furnace of affliction, that's going to take some big things. Sometimes it's going to take some big things to change us. It's not always fun, and it's not always easy. But we read through the Apostle Paul's, we read through the Daniel's, and they said they made a difference. What made the difference in their life? They allow God to take them through the furnace of affliction without compromising. Think of what A.W. Tozer said. If God has singled you out to be a special object of his grace, you may expect him to honor you with stricter discipline and greater suffering than less favored ones are called upon to endure. You know, if you really, truly want to do something for God, you can't be looking around at others and saying, why isn't so-and-so going through this? Why isn't so-and-so going through this? You need to say, this is my earthen vessel that I'm giving to God. And you know what? This affliction is not going to destroy me. This affliction is going to bring me closer to God. This affliction is going to transform me into being what God wants me to do. To choose suffering, that would be dumb. But to choose God's will and allow God to bring the suffering is completely different. To walk around and say that I'm going to choose to suffer and I'm going to choose to harm myself is foolishness. But when you submit yourself to God and allow God to bring suffering into your life, that is completely different. No healthy saint would ever choose suffering, but he does choose God's will. No healthy person is going to go out looking for trouble, but we should go out looking for God's will. And what, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not, to always be submitted to his will. The question remains, are you submitted to God's will? And as I was trying to figure out how to close Daniel, I liked last week's, when we looked at that last phrase and looked at Daniel's future. But when we look back at Daniel's life, I want you to understand that I'm sure he came from a great family because he was brought up that way. He knew the traditions, he knew the laws, and he wanted to serve God. I'm sure he got that from his dad and his mom and from his grandparents. But they weren't there anymore. He was in a hundreds of miles away in a foreign country under the leadership of a foreign country who was eat this or die. And he's like, no, I can't do it. Why? He says, because the only thing I have in this world is this vessel, this body that I'm going to use for God. You may take me out of my country. You may take me out of my comfort zone. You may tell me I have to do something. He says, but this is my vessel. This is what I have to give to God. And I'm going to face the affliction. I'm going to face the persecution, and I'm going to let God do what he wants with it. And Christian, that's what we need to get. You know, we don't have much, maybe. Maybe we don't have what the world would think is attractive. Maybe we don't have what the world considers valuable. But what we do have is an earthen vessel. And you look what it says in verse number 7, we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. And we have the opportunity to let God take our earthen vessels, whether they're skinny or fat, whether they're ugly or pretty, whether they be smart or dumb, fast or slow, intelligent or not so intelligent, you know, whatever it is, and refine it to be what he wants it to be. I tried to explain to that person that I was counseling with and talking with and spending time with. I said, we're not made, at least I don't think we're made, to try to look good for other people. I don't know about you, but I love my wife and I want to look good for my wife, but I don't really care what anybody else thinks about how I look. I want to look respectful because I'm a Christian. I want to look, represent Jesus Christ good, but I'm not going to dress to try to impress someone. I don't think you ladies should try to dress to cause men's heads to turn. So I think that's not dressing modestly. I mean, that's not your desire, and it's not my desire to want to try to show off to cause other people. We live for God, right? We have an earthen vessel here. And whether the world thinks it's acceptable or not, it's the vessel God's given us. And the only thing we can do with it is do what? Give it back to God. So tonight, maybe you are troubled on every side, but remember, you're not distressed. Remember, you may be perplexed, but you're not in despair. You might be persecuted, but you're not forsaken. You may be cast down, but you're not destroyed. Whatever it is that's going on in your life will not destroy you, but it can bring you closer to God. Are you willing to let God pull out the dynamite? Are you willing to let God take the chisels and the hammers and make you into the image of his son? I know we're all up for a little bit of a fingernail file here or there, but that's not what God's looking for us to do. Believe me, where we're at and where Jesus Christ is, there's a huge transformation that needs to happen. Are you willing to let God work? Daniel did, Apostle Paul did, and we read about them today. Christian, you can be used by God. Don't get so worried about what the earthen vessel looks like on the outside. Be worried about what's inside the earthen vessel and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.